You're listening to the Body Pros podcast coverage of AIDS 2008, the 17th International AIDS Conference. The conference took place in Mexico City from August 3rd through August 8th, 2008.
Hi, I'm Kevin Mallinson. I'm a nursing professor from Georgetown University and have been in HIV for about 25 years as a nurse. My project, which is called Nurses Soar, is a nurse capacity building project. And my belief and philosophy when I started this project was that if you're going to build capacity nurses, that started with keeping them healthy, whether they have HIV or not, and that means being able to deal with your grief and loss. So I have an intervention, which is what my poster is on, and it's an overnight retreat on loss and grief for nurses in Swaziland, South Africa, and Lesotho. They come about 4 in the afternoon, and we start talking about loss and grief into the evening hours in the dark, which helps people talk about their loss and grief. And it has been adapted for each of the 3 countries so that it fits their cultural beliefs around loss and death and grief well. But the idea is to get them talking about the deaths and the effects on them. And what has concerned me a lot is that there were 3 areas that the nurses are very distressed about. One is that they say that they have stopped caring for their patients. They do their work, they give them their meds, they wash them up, they change their bandages, but they've lost their sense of compassion because they've seen so many people come in. And if you're familiar with these hospitals and clinics, they're a nightmare. You know, there are people dying in waiting lines. So they find that the workshop has really helped them to renew why they're a nurse, because they want to care for people in the context of their family and get that back again. The second thing that they've talked a lot about is that because so many people die, particularly in their families, in a year, that they can't do all the rituals, for example, that a Zulu might want to do, because it's expensive, it's time-consuming, and they can't take that much time away from work, and they're exhausted. So they've begun to truncate or shorten their rituals or eliminate them altogether. One of the nurses was highly distressed because when her father died, you should slaughter a cow, and she didn't because it's expensive to buy a cow, and she had in the same year, last year, lost her brother and her sister. So now her father dies and she didn't slaughter. And to her, that's a spiritual distress that she has to live with. And the nurses talk about that in the different cultures, what it is that they're no longer doing to be able to get through the rituals and how it hurts them because the ancestors know what you do and don't do. And then the last piece, it's commonality. Commonality means that we all work together as a communal group. The Zulu, the Xhosa, the Basotho, the Swazis are all cultures that are communal cultures where they care for one another. It's the idea of where it takes a village to raise a child I came from, because that's exactly what it would be like. It's like a huge family. But as more and more people die and the stresses get higher and higher, the nurses have said everyone's pulling away from everyone else and only taking care of their own household and their own children and their own husband. And to a Zulu or a Swazi, that is really wrong. It's just plain wrong. One of the nurses in one of the workshops said, one of the most painful things I do every day when I walk out of my house and down to get the transport is I walk by this group of bushes. And she said, I know that there's a group of children living in those bushes. And she started to cry, and she said, as a Zulu, I am supposed to take them home. She has 7 children at home, 5 that she adopted because her brother and sister died. She said, I really cannot take more children. And she said, I and my neighbors all know that they're living in these bushes, and we've learned to turn away. And that distress is is not going to go away. It's only going to worsen. What I wanted to just say in the poster is you can do interventions for grief and loss. In the United States, I started this because virtually all of my friends have died. And I learned as a nurse that I couldn't work on an AIDS unit and come home and take care of my partner and my best friend and survive unless I took care of my loss and grief. So interventions work. They work in sub-Saharan Africa. These nurses are thrilled and said, can we do this again? Three of the different groups of nurses have gone back to their hospitals and started support groups on their own to say we need to keep talking to each other and supporting each other. So I think that's the most exciting thing, is they do have a lot of burden. About a third of the nurses that have come to these workshops have been HIV positive themselves, and they find in the workshop the other nurses are supporting them. The stigma just goes out the window, and they support them. And when they leave the workshop, no one has broken their confidentiality. And it's because they've all experienced something together. And that's the other piece I think that's unusual about this intervention, is it's an experiential interactive thing, which is rarely done in sub-Saharan Africa. Almost everything is this awful, boring lecture training kind of approach. And this is one that is really for them to be able to share their stories and make meaning out of this whole epidemic. I'll tell you, loss and grief is one of those things we keep putting at the very bottom of the list, and we shouldn't. And I will say that one natural thing that's coming out of this is we're now developing interventions for children that and the caregivers, to teach the caregivers how do you take care of yourself and then communicate with your children so that they will actually be able to manage this loss and not just keep suppressing it and burying it underneath all the trauma.
How did you come to be working in these countries? Do you come with other people from the U.S., from other parts of the world, or is it just you developing these interventions? What's the group that's working on this?
This all started in Africa about 5 or 6 years ago when a colleague of mine, a midwife, said, hey, Kevin, would you come to Tanzania with me and work with nurses to do curriculum work? And I said, absolutely. I'd never been to Africa. I've been to Brazil and other kinds of places doing things. And when I went, we were working on nursing school curricula in HIV/AIDS, but clearly the grief and loss was overwhelming. But I've also been a clinician for 25 years, so I've taken care of people. So our government, through HRSA, the Health Resources Services Administration, put out a call saying we want to build nursing capacity in three African countries, and it was a call for applications. So I'm at Georgetown University as a professor, so I wrote an application and said, from what I know of African nurses, they want leadership, they want more knowledge and skills around HIV/AIDS care, and they want care for the caregiver. So I developed a program and applied and got the award. It's funded by PEPFAR. It's a 3-year project. And no, my team is very large, actually. Besides a number of other professors who are nurse practitioners and specialists in pediatrics and critical care and other places where people with AIDS are going to need to be taken care of, we also partnered with the Association of Nurses in AIDS Care. So part of my project, Nurses SOAR, is that Nurses in AIDS Care members volunteer to spend 3 or 4 weeks away from their job and go to either South Africa, Lesotho, or Swaziland. And what they do when they're there is they every day work on the wards alongside the other nurses. Now, they don't take a nursing job. They work alongside the nurses that are working, and they problem solve and improve communications and documentation. And the nurses will say, I've got a real ethical problem about what we're doing here. And our mentors will say, tell me about that. What bothers you? And help them to work through ethical problems, legal problems. The nurses have, with this kind of mentoring, thing, have gone off and started their own policy development in the hospital. So they have policies now for healthcare worker safety, for non-discrimination for nurses and doctors with HIV. They've been working in Lesotho and Swaziland with the wellness centers that the International Council of Nursing has set up. They're actually taking on, in a sense, more work. And you're thinking, wow, I thought they were burdened already. But what happens is they get energized, empowered is what we would say in this country. But they have potential that gets ignored. So what this project's been able to do is bring people that stay there for 3 to 4 weeks, get to really know them, build the trust, and think, well, how could you solve this problem? What's different about our project is we don't give them American answers. We give them a sounding board, and they come up with South African answers or Swazi answers because, frankly, they know what they need. They don't know how to do it. So we help them build the skills, build the leadership, and at the same time, they're learning about TB and cryptococcal meningitis and all those other things that they need to really understand to be able to provide care. But they need to care for themselves and advocate for themselves. And Nurses in Aids Care has been a fabulous partner in this whole project. And then, of course, when we're in the countries, we partner with the local agencies, NGOs, and sometimes government projects. Because the PEPFAR-funded project, the government's a little bit friendly and says, oh, you know, if you want to use that money over here in the government hospital, let's do that. But we do everything from people coming in for an outpatient clinic, pregnant women coming in for PMTCT and care, all the way to end-of-life care in, there's a very large palliative care center outside of Durban. And our mentors have been there working for weeks on end. And when a group of mentors come back, another group goes, and they pick up where the other mentors left off. So it's not like reinventing the wheel all the time. It's in, for example, if one mentor was working with Zukiswa and helping her to develop a policy in the HIV clinic on how to do something, and that mentor goes home to the United States, the next mentor comes, meets Zukiswa and says, now, I understand you've got to this point, now let's move you further along. And it's been wildly successful, which I'm just thrilled for. And nurses, I just have to say, are extraordinary. They really are extraordinary.
Do you have a website for the program for in case people want to come and volunteer also, or is it a process that you do through the university?
No, it's almost there. You'll soon be able to Google Nurses Soar and actually get our website because it's almost done.
Thank you for your amazing work and for describing it so beautifully.
Thank you. I'm quite passionate about it. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
The opinions expressed by hosts or interviewees in this podcast do not constitute professional advice, should not be considered substitutes for professional services, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of Body Health Resources Corporation or its sponsors. Please see the full disclaimer online at thebodypro.com. If you have comments or questions, please contact us.
This has been a report on the 17th International AIDS Conference from The Body Pro. For more podcasts and full coverage of this conference, visit us online at thebodypro.com/AIDS2008.